What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. It is, I believe, our fifth edition of Fightful Tells All. Maybe we've had another one along the way. For those of you unfamiliar with this show, we've done a couple of them not behind the paywall, but we've decided to put a couple of these over here on Fightful Select for our viewers. Basically, like any time that somebody with Fightful has like a wrestling booking or appearance or something like that, we feel like, well, even if none of you give a damn, we should kind of pull the curtain back on that because we do that for a lot of other things. So myself and Denise, one of the best podcasts we ever did was us talking about the GCW clusterfuck. I did one with Shaza, but it's not just that. I've also done them about breaking stories, namely the CM Punk return to wrestling. So here we are for this one regarding my match with Effie at GCW. Believe me, I don't know if I talked about the Squared Circle Expo and Pawcade appearances. I'll discuss those a little bit as they sort of led into this as well. But we got Mike on the show, and let me tell you, here's a reason, a couple reasons why we have Mike on the show as I do this extended intro. He hosts Indeed every Wednesday on Overbooked. Effie couldn't be arsed to help put together the match, so he definitely wasn't going to appear on this podcast. But also, I think that Mike's got a lot of great insight and a lot of experience covering the indies that he can provide. If you happen to be one of the couple of people here live on Fightful Select, drop some comments in the chat, all that good stuff. And we'll tell you guys exactly how this all happened, even if you don't give a damn. Mike, after 2 minutes of me rambling, how are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm kind of waking up still. I had a busy weekend. I went to a show last night, so I'm a little tired. Feeling pretty good. It's an interesting Sunday now.
It is an interesting Sunday. I mean, like moments before we went on the air, It's like, whoa, Joe Biden's dropping out of the race. Let's do a show about Sean Ross Sapp versus Effie now.
Yeah.
What the nation actually cares about. So yeah. That's also why I got a Canadian. So there we go.
Exactly. I hardly know what's happening like on a good day with things I'm already informed of. So the fact that like this is something I'm already out of the loop on. Couldn't have a better person to not care about this news.
Well, we're here to talk about it. I wrestled Effie. It was Thursday, July 18th at Headliners Music Hall in Louisville, Kentucky. This is the first time I've ever legally wrestled in Kentucky. I had worked some outlaw shows and like some demos at my catch wrestling gym in the past, but this is the first time I ever sort of worked there. But I had worked in GCW before, technically. I main evented GCW before, technically. This is I stood in the ring across from Josh Barnett, Mike, and he didn't do shit. He just stared at me. He was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And we are where we are. But, Mike, I'm going to sort of let you semi-guide this, maybe ask some questions about this process, assuming you even give a fuck.
I do. It's independent wrestling. It's like, if there's one thing I do give a fuck about, it's
fair.
It's generally anything that happens in smaller venues on smaller streams and not within the confines of like 20,000 seat arenas. That's my shit right there. So happy place. GCW though, obviously you did the clusterfuck a couple years ago, but it's been a while. How did you like who reached out to who and how did you find your way back there?
So I did that match with Shaza, and after that, I immediately got like a lot of offers, inquiries to do stuff. But the reality is, like, I don't do this for money or anything like that. I do it to raise funds for a good cause. Mm-hmm. So in the meantime, between the Shaza match and this, I did three things. I did a Monster Factory show where I managed Shaza because, listen, if Shaza and I can do any type of work, I want to do that, and we'll get back to that later. But I managed her against Notorious Mimi, who was in WWE, and she was great. I did Squared Circle Expo. I can't remember what cause that one was for, but I could go back and look at that. But I took a choke slam from Hornswoggle, and I didn't do a full show on that because that was just so easy. I walked in there. I found out what number I was. I was right before Hornswoggle. And Hornswoggle put the spot together in 1 second. 1 second. He said, how long do you want to be in there? I said, get me the hell out. And he did it. And then, like, 3 weeks later, I did a spot where I worked coast to coast in a battle royal.
Yeah.
So after that show, I wasn't going to wrestle again for a while because I was in there at the start of the show with an untrained guy. And I've told this story before, but he did not know what he was doing. He was in that match because he had some people that were there. And instead of the spot we set up, he did a hip drop tackle and I ended up with a partially torn meniscus. However, I'd rehabbed it, I felt, appropriately. So I want to say, I think it was mid-May, GCW, Brett Lauderdale contacted me and he said, hey, we're coming to Louisville. Do you want to do something? And in my head, I thought, you know, maybe we'll do like a six-man scramble. I'd do a couple spots and then stay the hell out of everybody's way, help catch some people. And I was like, yeah, sure. I'll do that as long as it's for a notable cause. Now, the reason I went through all that is I know Black Label Pro and GCW will donate to whatever cause that I am wrestling for more than anybody would reasonably pay me to wrestle anywhere. Mm-hmm. Like they're going to give an amount that just nobody's going to pay me to wrestle that much. Like why the hell would they? So that was a no brainer. Yes. And that's what I did the first time. So I was like, hell yeah, let's do it. And then about 2 weeks later was when he's like, hey, trying to figure out what we should do. How do you feel about Effie? And I was like, hell yeah, brother, let's go.
Hey, the Effie, you know, the Effie rub, it's it goes around for everybody, really.
Yes.
Also, you mentioned like I love wrestling for film, like for anything bigger than just wrestling itself. So like philanthropic causes is great. And shout out to Mikey and Brett for that.
They're great. They're great. Yeah. When I saw the amount that Mikey donated to NAMI in December, I was like, well, my God, like that was. It's better than a lot of wrestlers get paid to show up on TV. And it meant a lot to me. And this one, for those wondering, was for the Dementia Society of America. I lost my grandmother to dementia a few months ago. Most important person in my life. You know, it's a tough one to recover from, but she was the reason that I wrestled. She was the reason I went to wrestling school, all of that stuff. She helped make that happen. So this is a very important cause for me. I'll probably try to benefit them again, but I've got a pinned tweet on my profile and please go donate. I would appreciate it, guys.
Yeah. Honestly, the cause specifically hits home with me as well, in regards to grandparents. So I was really happy to see, that one. You'd mentioned working with Shaza. Did you happen to try to get her booked on this show?
I did. I try to get Shaza booked on any show that I do, but especially like if it's on a weekday or a Thursday, because I know that she probably doesn't have bookings on Thursday. And that's like a benefit of OVW running, even though they don't really exploit it a lot, is most wrestlers have their bookings Friday, Saturday, sometimes Sunday. The way that I look at the Shaza thing was that she risked a lot to be on screen with me. She still experiences a lot of harassment and weird people by being associated with me in any regard. So any opportunity that I get to help her get an extra payday or something like that is something that I want to try to do, because I mean, for me, it's going for a charity thing, but this is her living. This is her job.
Yeah.
That's why, like in our match, I was like, I'm wrestling for a charitable cause, but she's got bookings to get and OnlyFans subscriptions to sell. Let's get people talking about her ass. So that's why we did that atomic drop spot. And for this, I wanted to bring her in some capacity, any capacity, but possibly as my heater. But Brett said, no, she's a good guy in GCW. And I said, well, I've got a way around that. We could say that I'm sponsoring her visa. And that's why she's got to be my heater. And I thought it was a really good idea. I really, really wish we could have had Shaza integrated into this. She and I, at one point, had tentatively agreed to face Cardona and Steph, which would have been in, I think, the fall for Black Label Pro. but you know, Matt got hurt, and I'm not saying I was happy that Matt got hurt, because I'm not, and he's a great dude, an incredible performer, but I was, the pressure of that was like, that was like an anxiety type of thing for me. But I tried to get it to even where me and Effie would be in the match, and when I would need to take a bump, I would call for her to get into the ring, take the bump for me, and then Effie just beats me with one big move. But
yeah,
it didn't come to fruition. I wish that it did, but yeah, I will work with Shaza literally anytime asked, honestly.
Yeah, it's been some fun times. Even the twice that she's been on Indeed, you've worked with her on Indeed.
Yeah.
I think your only two appearances on the show came through popping in on her interviews.
I'll tell you what was important to me about working with Shaza. Like, we did a thing where we just, like, we did a full show about it, but like, we went back and forth on social media and had joked about doing like a diner fight. And there was actually somebody that reached out and they said we should do a stage show at Starcast, where it's us sitting at a diner table and it devolves into a fight. And I was like, honestly, that sounds baller as shit. Like, nobody will come to it, but it sounds fun. And then Black Label Pro hit me up with that idea. But like, most people don't know that I wrestled. Most people don't know that I went to wrestling school or did catch wrestling. And I like that in most senses, because I can do some things that surprise them. However, my wife experienced that. She was around when I first went there. She was around when I broke my neck, when I got post-concussion syndrome. She was around through, you know, she helped me out of bed when I couldn't stand up straight, when I had some pretty bad injuries. So when this comes out, and I'll never forget, I was in Nashville. It was the same day as the Billy Body thing. Marco Stunt looks at me from like 40 feet away and charges me and darts towards me. And this dude is so good. It's like he knew I was going to do a tilt-a-whirl backbreaker to him. A wrestling writer. He knew a wrestling writer would do a tilt-a-whirl backbreaker to him. And he spins around in the crowd of a Black Label Pro show and takes the move. And he was like, that ruled. And my wife looked at me and she goes, you're going to fucking wrestle again, aren't you? And I was like, well, if he makes it that easy, probably. But when I'm planning to do the stuff with Shaza at the first Squared Circle Expo, she could see that my wife was like nervous about stuff like that, because she has seen me through some real physical lows. And Shaza was just like, don't worry, we'll take care of him. We'll make sure that everything's safe. And Shaza had watched some of my matches before, so she knew more of what I was capable of. And to me, just like a personal gesture like that is important. And that's why I don't give a damn who books me. If they try to book me, I will at least try to get Shaza booked on something like that.
I love that.
Yeah.
Also, shout out to your wife for the valleys, like the valleys of injury. The valleys of injury suck, because been there myself. Horrible back problems, and having somebody who like loves you and help you out at home is just makes it a lot easier.
100%. I would not, if this were a week and a half ago, I had serious concerns. So that knee thing, oh my God, the reason I had mentioned that. So I was getting in the gym an awful lot, trying to get ready for this. And I was doing like 60 to 70 minutes on the stairs, and I hopped off the stairs and I had no stability in that knee where I had that meniscus thing. And I had like, by the time Brett reached out, I had rehabbed it for, I think it was 3.5 weeks anyway. And I had a few more weeks to go, and I was like, yeah, I'd be good. And it was fine. And then I got off those stairs and I had no stability. And my wife worked on my knee for like a week straight until it felt stable enough to do that match. Because I was like, okay, even if I've got a torn meniscus and I can't do a lot, there's enough smoke and mirrors. Like, if I get speared through a table immediately, cool. People got to see me get my ass whipped, no big deal. But the only reason we were even able to go 10 minutes was because she worked on my knee for quite a while. So that was important.
So, you know, you got your knee feeling better. You found out you're wrestling Effie, but you're also wrestling in Kentucky. So, Kentucky's one of those fun places where there's a commission involved in organized result fighting for yep. some reason. Very, you know, big annoyance for any wrestling, any pro wrestling.
Sucks.
Yeah. How'd getting licensed go?
Pain in my ass. So I've wrestled illegally in the state, but when I wrestled, a lot of times what we would do, and this was in the heart of when it was real, real hard. It's not as hard now, but when it's really hard, we would run Aberdeen, Ohio, Ripley, Ohio, Portsmouth, Ohio, river towns. And for a long time, WWE and TNA and all those places would just go Indianapolis, Huntington, West Virginia, Cincinnati, and then a Tennessee border town because of the strict rules. So a governor had repealed some of those to try to make it easier. But still, the indie scene here is not great. You've got OVW and whenever Larry D runs something, that's it. And bless Larry D for trying to keep it afloat. Like, he's great. But you have to have a physical. Now, they treat pro wrestling exactly like MMA, and especially did 8 years ago. Now you don't have to get the blood work, which is nice. But you have to have a physical, and it has to be conducted by an MD. Well, I found it had to be conducted by an MD because I went to get one. And let me tell you, just finding somebody to do a physical is a pain in the ass. But got it done. They stamped it and everything. And the Kentucky Commission said, no, you have to have an MD do it. So I had to go back and do that.
Oh, my God.
But I went to the MD and she's like, I was like, hell yeah, cool, because I haven't been to the doctor much lately. Got some stuff for a skin condition I had. I was like, hell yeah, two birds, one stone. But got that taken care of, got my knee checked out, all that. She's like, probably shouldn't, but you can because you don't need surgery. So got all that cleared and good to go. And then backstage at the show, it was like everybody was just sharing their horror stories of getting this done. Because like, yeah. I'll give you an example, Mike. If my wife, okay, you know what? I can't use that because she's worked a match before. Say you have you ever worked a match before?
Not
okay. Say you were here in Kentucky and you said, you know what I want to do? I want to train to be a pro wrestler. Before you ever take a bump at wrestling school, you have to get licensed by the state. And then between getting that license and before you take your bump, you have the same rights as John Cena, Shelton Benjamin, Randy Orton, Rico Constantino, John Cena, and that whole OVW class from 2001. It is a cash grab. That's all it is. I do think that physicals should be like mandatory, but there's no reason if you require to have a doctor on site at the show, as they do in Kentucky, that they shouldn't be able to conduct those on site. Say, hey, brothers, come in at 4, get your physical approved, stamped, good to go. It was a pain in the ass. And Nate Webb brought up a great point. He's like, man, he's like, I got my license here years and years ago, had to get it renewed, and now it's only good until December 31st. Likewise, I got my clearance in early July, but my license is only good till December 31st.
So then, in order for you to even take a January 1st booking, you have to have that whole process gone through and ready to go by like New Year's Eve.
Correct.
Oh. So like, I agree with you, like on the physicals, because that, you know, just making sure that everyone's in some good health is, you know, and, you know, safe to wrestle makes sense. But like,
they do again, a reflex test, you do 100 jumping jacks. And I was like, as I was doing it, I was like, sounds stupid, but I was like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, you don't want somebody to have a heart attack in your match or anything like that. Like, I get it, but you can do that there. You can do that at the show if you've got a doctor there.
And then, you know, you were mentioning like blood work not necessary. That's not the case in every state that has a commission. There are states where you still, like in 2024, need blood work, which, you know, again, it's insane. No professional wrestler that I've ever seen talking about commissions online has ever said anything positive or like, you know, no one's in favor of it.
It's not. I don't like it at all.
So. There was a lot of fun stuff though in the lead up to this match, you know, between you and Effie bantering with each other. It seemed to stem from your interview with Mance Warner. But did you know prior to the interview that you were going to be wrestling Effie?
Yeah. So Mance had hit me up about doing an interview, and funny story about Mance. When I first did in-person interviews at Double or Nothing Weekend 2019, he was the first person I went to. We had never spoken, and we did like a 2-minute, like, bam, quick interview. Mm-hmm. And just to make me feel comfortable. And I love that guy ever since. Like, he is such a surefire thing. He's in incredible shape. And I was flattered that he wanted to do an interview like with me after winning the world title. And I had mentioned to him, like, hey, Brett wants us to set up me facing Effie. So we made little comments like me asking him, hey, do you think I could beat Effie after you've softened him up? Like, even though Mance, like, it was me kind of ignoring that Mance had lost to Effie because he had just won the world title.
Yeah.
And fortunately, the booking kind of did me favors after that because Effie didn't work a singles match after that. And he was like working tags. So I was like, that's easy. I can say Allie and Sheik are carrying him. Like, I can say that. He may have won, but, you know, we have seen MMA fights where people are just never the same after they win that fight or after the knockdown drag out that they have. So we worked that in there, and that was pretty fun. Yeah.
That's awesome. I loved the Mance Werner interview because of, you know, the little jabs that were in there, sent Effie's way. I had some fun with it myself because it's also no secret. I'm an Effie fan.
Yes.
He's a multiple time guest on Indeed as well. and so it was fun seeing some of the banter back and forth. Once the match announcement went out, especially, a lot of excitement, like everyone was talking about it. Were you expecting the reaction that the announcement got?
I dread match announcements. Okay. Like I just dread them because, like, listen, I've got thin skin. I readily admit that. But also, like, beyond having thin skin, everybody wants to be loved. Like, that's the thing. And that just ain't a reality with what I do. But, and also, if somebody says something completely out of pocket, I'm quick to say something to them about it because I can. But I'm not allowed to breathe, man. Like, nobody lets me do shit. Now, I understand if people have concerns over conflict of interest and stuff like that. That I think that is completely fair criticism and understandable. That's why I don't accept money, but that doesn't make me exempt from criticism at all. Like, you can have those concerns and all that. I thought Wade Keller, and I think it was Todd Martin, they voiced it well on their show, but I completely understand that and get that, but I dread that stuff because how many matches am I going to have where people say that I'm killing wrestling? And it's like, come on, man. And I'll have people saying, oh, he just wants to be a wrestler. No, if I wanted to be a wrestler, I would go be a wrestler and do that. I don't want to be because I could not maintain that schedule. I could not work multiple matches in a weekend. I can't do that. I can do what I'm capable of in the ring on spot shows. I can't maintain the travel that they maintain. I can't do any of that. I am not built for that. So I was like dreading it. And there are always those people that say, oh, you could just donate to the charity and encourage donations. And I'm like, no, I do not think that you understand the level and scope of attention that even people hating on it gets by the way of donations. Like, it is irreplaceable publicity. And that's why I'm okay with, that.
I think there's also like a misconception that a lot of people have, like I like to address it with, you know, people not understanding that you've trained to wrestle before and long before you were ever involved in media, even.
You
know, this is something that you had actively participated in already. So you're not approaching it with any kind of like, you know, disrespect or like,
sure.
Any, you know, it's not like a, oh, look at me do the thing. It's, you know, like, it, you still appreciate it and, you know, and treat it for what it is. It's not something that you're just doing it because you can, you know.
If I felt like I couldn't be competent, I wouldn't do it. And I stopped wrestling when Fightful started in 2016. I did a couple matches under a mask, including one of which that has like now 60,000 views on Twitter and no, or not Twitter, YouTube, and nobody knows it's me. One person correctly guessed that it was me and they died. RIP. But I don't know if it's like The Ring or what, but the only hint I've ever given is I won the match and it was by a swanton. And that was, and nobody knows it's me. I've always looked at the comments to see if anybody happens to know. It's gear I've never worn again. It's a mask I've never worn again. And I will never tell anybody unless they accurately guess it. But other than that, I didn't wrestle because I didn't feel like I could do it competently for years. And then I started to train again last year. I got in the ring with Ali Cease a couple times. I got back in the ring with some of my catch wrestling teammates and stuff like that. I was like, okay, I want to be able, I don't want to disrespect wrestling or anything like that. So I just want to make sure. And that's why last year, as I was preparing, I was like, I don't know how I'll feel about this. And I was like, well, wait, if Shaza just beats me in 12 seconds, crowd's happy, whatever. Same thing with Effie. So I felt good enough training for these that I did that. And also we stuck to what was in my wheelhouse.
So, you know, is show day itself now, this is GCW's debut in Louisville.
Yeah.
You know, pretty, you know, great show, you know, great show to be on. How, you know, outside of your own match, how are you feeling about the show? How did you, how was the experience?
So my wife drove us in. It was an hour trip. It was so easy, so fun, but I get there and I've never had anything at Headliners Music Hall. It's a great venue. I really liked it. When I'm there, I see Lord Crew, who's a friend of mine on Ring Crew. I see Andrew Hornback. I'll tell you guys a good story about this guy who most of you don't know. I lived in a small town called Maysville, Kentucky, middle of nowhere. And in Chicago, at one of the star casts, he approached me and he's like, hey man, I'm from your town. How do I get into wrestling?
Wow.
And I was like, anything, everything, produce content, train to wrestle, train MMA, help people set up chairs, help people set up rings, help people set up cages. And at the time I was like, you know, maybe he'll take the advice. 90% of people don't. I had a booking for an MMA commentary gig about 3 months later. And I get there and they had put the ring, or they put the cage together backwards or wrong. And they're like, yeah, this guy that ended up working on the cage crew really helped us fix it. And I was like, oh, who is it? And they said, Andrew Hornback. And I said, God damn it, man. He did it. He went and fucking did it. And then I find out he had enrolled at OVW. And then I think it was maybe last year, I'm at TNA in Newport, Kentucky, and I see this redheaded fellow with a camera on his shoulder, and it's Andrew fucking Hornback.
Wow.
And then this past week, he said, listen, I know the show sold out. Is there any way I could get on Ring Crew? And I hit up Brett, and Brett said, yep, tell him to show up. And there he was doing the damn Ring Crew. So that made me very happy. It made me very happy, but I love the venue. I was the first wrestler there because Brett told me be there at 4 for a 7:30 show. And guess what wrestlers don't do? Show up on time. But.
No. God, no.
Yeah. I was just, you know, getting loose and all that stuff and kind of trying to get out of my own head at that point.
Awesome. Yeah. Now I'm notoriously at shows pretty early because I like the film B-roll of the ring getting set up. I don't know. I just think it makes a fun time lapse to like watching a ring get put together in like 15 seconds is, it looks really cool, but
yeah, it does.
But yeah, seeing what time everybody files in at is always just it's the funniest thing. So that being said, what time did Effie get there, and how'd putting the match together go?
Effie got there at about 5:30, 5:45. So this was the most stressful experience like that I'd ever been through. And I know for him, like, he thought it was funny that he hadn't put together the match. But to me, like, I overthink things. To him, it might be just a bad match. To me, even if I don't do anything wrong, all I see is people burying me on social media, right? Like, I got to deal with that for months no matter what because of my shirt or what kind of shape I'm in or anything like that. Even if the moves aren't bad, I got to deal with that. So imagine if I did screw something up. So I had been asking him, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? For weeks. And he's putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. And then earlier in the week, he goes, do you do jujitsu? And I was like, you motherfucker. Like, can you do a Spanish fly to the floor? No, I can't do a fucking Spanish fly to the floor. And, you know, I talked to Manders a little bit. And I was like, yeah, he ain't set up shit. He goes, oh, he told me. He told me. And Brett even walked up to me and he goes, just so you know, you'll probably want to think of some shit that you want to do. Because Effie hasn't put 2 seconds of thought into this, I guarantee you. And I said, all right. So we get in the ring. And first off, we go over one spot. My knee twists, immediately unstable because I was wearing my regular shoes in the ring instead of wrestling shoes. And for those of you who don't know, wrestling shoes and wrestling boots grip canvas a lot differently than actual shoes with tread. Okay. There's not tread on the bottom of my wrestling shoes. So that's to work with the canvas. Meanwhile, like not for example, but like this has tread on it. It grooves into the mat a lot differently.
Oh yeah. So you just like catch and tweak.
Yeah. And I want to say about an hour before Effie got there, I had in my head the kind of match I wanted to do. And I would say 90% of that is what ended up happening. Now, here is a funny thing. I had mentioned to Effie before. He goes, what happened? Did you and Shaza do like a Zoom call or something before your match? And I said, yeah, we did. And I laid out the match to her 3 days before. We worked over it when we got there. And that was that. I like to know what I'm doing because I don't work a ton. But honestly, like 90% of the match is what I had in my head. And Effie had some really great ideas that we'll go spot through spot about how that worked. But I think one of the spot that made me, I was sort of proud of, he said, do you have any amateur wrestling stuff you can do? And I just kind of threw it out there. I was like, just facetiously like, yeah, I can do a German suplex if you wanted. And he goes, great, let's do that. And I was like, well, shit, I haven't done that in 12 years. But then we did it. And he goes, yeah. And then when I jump with you, and then I was like, I just deadlifted him. And he was like, or I don't have to jump. Even better. He's like, that works. And it ended up going pretty well the way I wanted. There was one spot he had mentioned early about a back body drop into a chair. And I was like, listen, I have not done a back body drop since training. And even when I wrestled, I tried to avoid doing them because I wasn't very good at them. So that was one spot that got nixed.
Like you mentioned the suplex, the German suplex. And that's like, that's one of the first things I saw where I was like, oh God, he deadlifted Effie. Who's like, I'm a big guy and Effie and I are roughly the same size. So I'm like, you know, automatically I'm just like, oh God, Effie. God, Sean.
So when I wrestled, like did amateur wrestling, I would cut to 149.9, then 155. And everybody was bigger than me except for one guy. So I'm used to throwing around them. And even though I can't do it like that anymore, like Effie wasn't that much of an issue for me and stuff, but yeah, it happened the way that I wanted. Also, I found out I was doing a promo 10 minutes before I did a promo.
Yes.
And yeah, it's probably a good idea that we did one, but I didn't even think about my entrance music until a couple hours before. And I was like, I didn't want to do Bad Baby anymore because nobody knew that. Originally, I picked her and Tory Lanez because it was the most obnoxious shit I could think of.
Yeah.
But then I was like, you know what? Let me go with something different. So I did Weezer Hash Pipe.
I was gonna ask you why where Hash Pipe came from.
I just liked the song. Thought it was good. Yeah.
Look, okay. We talked about the suplex enough. I know we got a clip of it.
Well, let's go ahead and roll that. Let's see here.
And there's a bird once again. Oh, high kick.
Avoided by Effie, though. Grabs the waist lock here. See if Sean can turn things around. He
standing
does.
Switch.
Oh, a German suplex.
Are you kidding me right now?
Effie a bit surprised that Sean Ross Sapp was able to hit the maneuver.
So there were a few things that sort of led to this. So we'll talk about the promo in a minute, but I always try to work in something that might surprise people that don't have any idea that I wrestled or could wrestle. And what we did before that was I'd come up with this spot where we just flip each other off and he would get the yas and I would get the boos.
Yes.
And the first off, like I hope that there's some crowd footage that emerges. Because this and the Black Label Pro match showed me like indie shows aren't mic'd for the crowd. Like it was so loud in there and I loved it. I was so happy. But I knew it would get that reaction. And then we did the spot where I couldn't drop toe hold him and I couldn't headlock him. So at the beginning of the Shaza match, it was just a high kick and a drop toe hold. And then I wanted to do high kick to something else that I hadn't done before. And Effie was like, no, a German suplex is great because not a lot of people are doing German suplexes anymore. They went from being overdone to underdone. So I was like, yeah, let's do that. And we can, and Effie had the idea to preface it with, well, here's him not being able to lock a headlock on or get the drop toe hold on me.
Yes. Also like the high, so the high kick, it always catches me off guard with how high you can kick. And then also like Effie ducked down so far because I wasn't sure, maybe he thought like you weren't gonna kick that high, so he went extra low. But I was like, damn, there's the gap. But yeah, deadlifting Effie was just that got me going already. I watched this match, I watched the show in as I do with a lot of anything I watch on stream. I usually watch it in Discord with one of my friends from California, and like, you know, the two of it's like watching wrestling. I love the internet. It's like I can watch wrestling on the couch with a friend who's on the other side of,
yeah,
like,
of course,
America. But the two of us had such a good time watching this. Like the promo to start things off. I don't know how far the drive from Lexington to Louisville is, but
an
like
hour.
Now that I know that it's an hour, just thinking about like everyone giving you shit for saying you made the, you know, the painstakingly long drive to Louisville.
It's the college sports rivalry, Louisville Cardinals and Kentucky basketball. And I am through and through a UK guy. I really love it. And I had an idea I was going to get some heat, but I didn't just realize that Lexington would get me that much heat. And again, I can't wait until there's crowd footage that emerges, because I was shocked. I was like, oh, damn, this is good shit. And the goal was bury the city, call Effie washed up. Reference Double J, because I had Jeff Jarrett hitting Effie with a guitar on my shirt, and set up the move later. And I found out 10 minutes before and I was like, hell yeah. Once I did the promo, I wasn't nervous about the match.
That's which is already crazy, because you know, you're nervous about the match and then you're finding out you're getting mic time, like,
yeah,
with little to no time to really get what you're gonna say prepared.
Yes.
Which I, that's the part that I'd probably have been the most nervous about at that point, would be like, I have to like I don't know why I host a podcast, but public speaking scares the crap out of me.
Yep.
So
that was the first promo that I didn't feel too nervous about, because the heat was immediate when I came out there. Yeah. I was like, okay, they know who I am. I've got heat here, because I mean, if you go through the things I've done in wrestling, me and Denise's spot was a little clunky. People complained about that. They complained about me wearing street clothes. Well, sorry, I just came from an ROH show. Well, I was wearing gear this time. They complained at the Squared Circle Expo that nobody made noise. Sorry, you can't do that anymore. So I'm attacking each thing that there is a criticism over. And somebody asked what was on the shirt. This was on the shirt.
Yes.
That was on the shirt. But I was so nervous for that match. And then when the promo happened, I was like, all right, I feel all right about this. I feel good about it. And I knew that we had a match, and it's so funny because I'll see people that are like, where's the story? I'm like, the story is that I'm feigning that I'm as terrible as I am, but I'm still not nearly as good as I think I am. Or like, I'm nowhere near as good as I believe I am. I want people to think I'm this good, like not good at all. I think that I'm this good, and I'm just slightly above that really, really completely uneducated area of it. So that's what I was trying to set up. And that's why I was also mentioning, because I want it to be a running thing. Like, I have not won a single wrestling match since I've been back, because I don't want to win a wrestling match. I should get my ass kicked. That's just how it should be.
I like that. Also, like, the gray area that you operate in when you're wrestling of, you're better than a lot of people expect you to be. And then yeah. Also, yeah, the like false confidence that you portray of thinking you're like way better. But
once,
I love it.
Once I hit that. So the sequence that we just showed, it goes. So I throw a high kick because I did Muay Thai, kickboxing, MMA and all that. And it's nerve wracking in wrestling shoes because I'm like, will I slip? What'll happen? I'm used to throwing this barefoot. And I can throw it way higher barefooted. So I'm like, okay. But once I throw that kick, you see my confidence go up a little bit. He grabs the waist lock and I do an elbow peel, which is common in catch wrestling. So I'm peeling his elbow up. I'm working for a double wrist lock and I go standing switch. And
switch is in crazy.
So that's the thing. Like I was worried about that because I see a lot of people just do a switch and I'm like, how are they breaking the wrist lock or waist lock? By just spinning around, you go under, you break it, you put your knee in front of their foot, and then you switch. And like, I'm not trying to finger wag or anything there, but I'm like, if I did it the way that I see it done a lot, I'm like, man, that I would think that looks bad, but a lot of people get away with it. So I have to do it technically right. Plus, I know if I don't, my catch wrestling coaches are going to harass me. And originally I was going to bridge with the suplex, and that's how we did it in practice. Like I do a bridge and then he kicks out at one, but he was like, you know, I think it's better if you deadlift, release at the end, and then I react to it. And it's not like a pin thing. It's a, oh shit, I can't believe he deadlifted and suplexed me type of thing. And that's where, like, you know, Effie does this so much. He's just brilliant with it.
That was it was like really where, you know, things started to kind of elevate too, when you were your confidence started to actually, or I should say, like, your ability started to catch up to your confidence from that point on, which is, you know, I like the elevation in the pace and everything at that point. Not too long after is when Effie did, you know, Effie was on his knees in his traditional, thirsty looking pose. And he hit you with a headbutt in the dick.
So that was the first spot I thought of. That was the first one. I was like, because I can't remember what wrestling writer, like, when there was training footage of Parker Boudreau that emerged and he did a leapfrog and there was a wrestling writer, it's like, oh my God, he's going to be huge. I was like, what? I'm like, I can do a leapfrog. What? Why are you putting this over?
Yeah.
Now it's the first spot I thought of, but like, that was before my knee gave out. And I was like, oh shit. Once that happened, but I had pitched that one to Effie and in my head, I was like, then he headbutts me. So my mom watched the match and she was like, did he actually do that? She's like, that looked good. And like, it looked like he really got you. I was like, no, he's just a pro, man. Like, he's really good. And like, I will get so tired during matches that I don't feel like I sell enough. That one, I felt like I sold well enough and he did it great. The spot after that was one of the top five most like scary or painful things I've done in wrestling. Because he misses me completely with the Yakuza kick, and he tells you that he will, but he knocked the breath out of me. So I'm in the corner and I'm like, but I'm like, okay, he's about to do the thing with his leg over the ropes and the tarantula. So I was like, I got time to breathe. He's going to spank me a couple times. All I got to do is throw punches. And I wanted to make sure that I didn't throw them like over his head or anything, like where it looked like I wasn't trying to punch him. But I had time to breathe there because I knew that the spot was going from me doing nothing, throwing a couple punches, then getting atomic dropped out of the ring. And the reason I wanted an atomic drop was just so I could scream, oh my God, my fucking ass. So that's why that spot happened.
So I was wondering, because there was some ass slapping right into the atomic drop, and then the other thing too, like besides working your ass cheeks over, was also a repeated amount of noogies happening.
Yeah, those were his idea. The repeated ass slaps were his idea. At one point, I had considered, like when I was thinking about going through the match, should he just work my ass over the whole time? Like, should it be like atomic drop, knee drop to the ass, kick to the ass? Like, should he put my ass through a table or a door? You know what I mean? Like, stuff like that would be funny. But the noogies were his ideas. The slaps were his ideas. He's like, let me give you several of them before the atomic drop. Like, basically, we were working it around making it idiot-proof in the event that I was a fucking idiot. And then I expected to spend a lot more time outside the ring. But then he grabbed me, and that was his idea, too. He's like, just crack me with a chair. And he goes, if you don't hit me hard enough, I'm going to say hit me again. And I said, okay. Let's do that. And I thought the going after him with the chair worked good. Yep. He attacked me with the chair and all that stuff. I wish I would have sold that better. But all that was to set up a couple things, because we felt like he would be more competent getting the weapons than me. And that was a thing that switched. Originally, I was supposed to get the chairs and the tables and all that stuff. But I'm like, but he was like, you know, I think it'd be better if I did it for the pop. And yep, of course. And because the amount of time that it would take me to get something like that out after having never done that would probably take way too long, because I don't know what the hell I'm doing in that regard. And Becky Lynch even mentions in her book, like, Bray Wyatt had to go over her with doing that. So felt like it was a lot easier there. And it set up the two spots that we had set up via the promo and the shit later on, which we'll show a clip of in a minute.
All right. Let's you want to
Yeah, we can just roll it. It's about a minute and a half, so strap in, guys.
Look how strong I am.
Oh no! Into the chair. He got the drop to hold that time.
Man, he got all of it. With some stank on it.
Grabbing hold of Effie now. DDT. That's Warner's signature maneuver.
What an FU to FE.
Effie kicks out.
And you thought he was fired up before, Dave.
Taking issue with the referee's count. He kicked out. Big boot from Effie sends Sapp into the corner. Referee making sure that he can continue. As Effie now looking underneath the ring, see what plunder might be available on that side. Door is being retrieved by Effie.
Another chair to be added to the mix.
I mean, John Ross Sapp, he had a little bit of introduction to GCW with the minute or so that he was in the cluster, but now it's a door being put to use.
Right.
Welcome to GCW. Official.
Oh, no.
Effie maybe looking for that TKO on the chair.
Oh, break of the eyes. Come on.
From Sapp.
No!
And he's...
The stroke!
On the chair. That Jarrett influence.
Good Lord.
Okay.
So, yeah, go ahead.
So one thing I noticed, like, watching the whole match was I love, like, vocal wrestlers and people who will, like, be, you know, kind of like, you know, more than just make some ooh and ah faces, but, like, you know, actually, you know, you stub your toe and you yelp. So, like, you know, I like to hear some, like, actual vocal reaction and, like, banter. So I love that. But I just noticed, and I've watched this match a couple times now, but I just noticed now you actually... Going, that was four to the ref.
Yes.
When Effie kicked out. I didn't realize it until I saw your mouth say four, and then I saw the extra finger finally. But, like, that was great.
So I watched a guy at the Moorhead, Kentucky, at the Carl Perkins Center, Ron Mathis, and there was like 30 people at this show, and he was so vocal. And I was like, that's how I'm gonna wrestle. That's how I'm gonna wrestle whenever I do it. And that's why I was like, man, it is not mic'd to pick up the crowd, because it doesn't pick up anything verbally that we say. I was worried that I screamed fuck too much during the match and that the mics would pick it up. They didn't pick up any of it. So there were a lot of those things, but it was Effie's idea to turn the chair around. He's like, if people ever expect to see you do a drop toe hold on a chair, they'll think the front of the chair like Raven. Let me do it to the back. And I was like, all right, let's go. Nice. And then the swinging DDT, I just lucked out that Mance does a version of it as well. Mm-hmm. Because I've done that for like, gosh, 10 years. I've done that move.
Paywall.
Yeah, it's the paywall. So I got lucky there that it paid off. And he goes, oh, should we do a near fall? And I said, no, kick out of that shit at one. I was like, that's how that should be.
Yeah.
And then we wanted to just keep teasing me violently getting put through a chair or a table or something. And then we do the stroke and we had talked about doing it on a flat chair. And I was like, honestly, I think there is less room for error, less room for me to get hurt if it's on an open chair. And it's an easier bump for everybody to take if you do it to the open chair, because it's less of a drop, all that stuff. It's such an easy move to do.
Yeah.
So we went there and then he kicks out and there were some things that I do like intentionally. I intentionally do like a half-ass like sort of pin at the end, because one of the people were telling, like one of the wrestlers said, man, your pin looked too much like a wrestler against Shaza. Like you shoved her face down, you cradled her arms and you had that. I was like, yeah, you're right. I was like, I shouldn't put all my weight across the shoulders. So that's kind of why I did that there. I do wish he would have kicked me harder. I wish he would have headbutted me harder in another spot, because I know he's trying to not hurt me. And I'm like, but I don't got to wrestle next week, you know? But he's trying to take care of me. He's trying to be a responsible guy in the ring. So I'm very thankful for that as well.
Yes. Shout out to Effie, the consummate professional.
Oh, he's great. He's fucking great. And that's what he said. He's like, I'm not trying to hurt anybody. And I go, I'm happy about that. So I didn't push back.
Not just your dance partner in the ring and Effie, but also like the referee you had in there with you was Dan Perch, who universally praised one of the best referees in pro wrestling.
If he gets signed by like WWE or AEW, it would not surprise
me. Unsurprising to the max.
One of the kindest human beings that I've ever met. One of the best referees I've ever met. I've never had a referee communicate with me as much as him. And I can't tell you how helpful that is for me. And I'm not trying to bury any ref that I've ever worked with before, ever. But I have never had a ref come over and actively talk to me. Like when Effie's outside getting the stuff, he's down there and he's saying, okay, just go ahead, slow down, breathe. All the eyes are on Effie right now. All that. After the match, he's like, Effie's celebrating. Here's where we'll go. Here's where we'll walk. And I could tell a couple of people had heard him. And I was like, we're going where? Why? And he is the best. And again, I haven't worked with any other GCW refs, so it's not me minimizing them or anything like that. But let me tell you, I've never worked with a ref like him that is that good. And I hope they're all like that. And wouldn't surprise me if they were in GCW, but I just want to give him his flowers. Perch is unbelievable. He is so good. And I got to say this, every referee that I spoke with, saw work or do anything at GCW, total pros.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Total pros. Like they are on their shit, man.
Yeah.
They went over the match with us and all that stuff. Knew every spot that was going to happen. Pro.
They were in Toronto actually a couple weeks ago, so I was able to go there, and they were quite hospitable with me allowing me some access to walk around before the show. And you know, same thing there, just like my observations of how like GCW is, you know, a GCW pre-show is like, it's so much more, just everything is more like fluid and organized, it seems, than your standard local indie show, obviously.
Yeah.
Perch, it's not that you're minimizing any other referee, it's just he's that good. He's just so good.
Yeah, he's incredible. He's so good.
Something, you know, anyone to get in a good idea of what I'm talking about for my appreciation of him, if you watch Speedball versus Yoshihiko from GCW in Brooklyn, watch that match, but don't watch Speedball or Yoshihiko. Just watch Perch for the whole match. And it's like, it's incredible. It's it takes me back to like watching Bryce Remsburg do Invisible Stan versus Invisible Man.
Oh, it's so good.
Like that kind of shit.
It's so good.
So you got the drop toe hold on the chair off. You got the paywall DDT, which is also a Mance Warner shout. You got the Jeff Jarrett shout, which like the metagaming of that with your promo, your shirt, and then doing the moves in the match is just like the holy trinity of haunting Effie with his nemesis. Didn't win though.
Didn't win.
Didn't win.
Let's show the finish real quick.
Let's do it.
Though, spear through the door goes Sean Ross Sapp through the paywall. He did not block that pop up, did he? Now going all the way up. Whoopee cushion. And that's all. Effie scores the win.
So the finish, the original idea that he had was, I do a small package, then he does a small package reversal. And I was like, that was the only thing I was like, no, absolutely not. You whip my fucking ass and you sit on my face. I was like, the visual. And originally, like, because he does the one where he just hits the ropes and does it.
Yeah.
And I was like, you sit on my face and it looks as ridiculous as possible. And he said, well, if it's going to look as ridiculous as possible, I should do like Doink's whoopee cushion. I was like, fucking perfect. Perfect. So we went back and forth about how the door would go, and it didn't break all the way. I thought it did because I just hear it. Mm-hmm. But yeah. And originally he was going to go up to like the second rope and do it. When I saw him to the top rope, I was like, going to get the wind knocked out of me, maybe shit my pants. No, he landed on me easy as possible.
Consummate professional.
He's great. He's incredible.
Like as someone who's like core formative memories are all in the 90s, seeing a whoopee cushion finisher in 2024 was something that it was like on a bingo card that I didn't know was a bingo card.
Yeah.
I was very happy to see that one. I all caps tweeted about that one. I was so happy.
I was happy with it too. I was glad he went to the top rope. And I mean, the table spot ended up, you know, even though it didn't break all the way, it ended up being like, okay. So I was like, hell yeah. It made the sound.
You got a visually appealing amount of the door to break.
Yes. And I mean, those doors are so different than the doors at Black Label Pro. They were brand new doors at Black Label Pro. I feel like these were rehomed doors. Like these came from somebody's construction site.
Somebody got a closet that they somebody were doing some home remodeling and getting rid of some getting rid of some doorways that they you know, you go in open concept in your living room. can we add doors? And,
I ended up ultimately I was pretty happy with how it ended up. So yeah.
I like the environmental aspect of repurposing the doors. I'm a big fan of that. So match itself, you know, it's over. How was everything, you know, post-match, rest of the show? Yeah, how did that all go for you?
So the week before I was sincerely like worried I would tear something in my knee or something like that. But
yeah,
afterwards I was like, okay, I feel good. Had a little, you know, a little marked up on my shoulder, a little marked up on my knee and all that. Neck felt good. Honestly, that's the best my neck has ever felt after a match, even like 10 years ago. So I felt very, very good about that. People said very nice things. There were a few people from WWE and AEW that messaged me and said very, very nice things as well. And that trickled in a lot more after the highlights made their way online as well. And then also some people saying, hey, don't listen to fucking idiots, people that, and it was a wrestler. yeah, I've wrestled for X amount of years and I thought it was good or et cetera. And I was like, you know what? We raised money, crowd loved it, got praise from people in the industry, didn't have one person in wrestling say anything bad about it. And I was like, I feel good about it. I felt really good about it.
I think that's the most important takeaway, honestly, is like at the end of the day, there's a lot of opinion that just always floats around, and it's like none of it really comes from a place of experience in a lot of in almost all cases. So here, as long as the people who actually know what the fuck is happening are giving you good feedback or constructive criticism, even then, it's a dub.
Yeah, I felt good about it. But guys, please donate to the Dementia Society of America. Just based on the donations people showed to me, we raised over $2,000. Just me posting the clip or posting the link has over 300,000 views on it. And I want to say thank you to the Dementia Society. They sent me a nice thank you, which I greatly appreciate. And really any of the causes that I've wrestled for in the past, the Trevor Project, NAMI, things like that are important to me. But my grandmother was the most important person in my life. The highlight of my wrestling association was getting to do a little spot right in front of her on an indie show on a river. And just her seeing that and seeing that, some of the time, money, effort she put into paid off, meant a lot to me. So hopefully this can at least help one family, because dementia care it's so fragile. There are a lot of families that don't know quite what they're getting into when they have a family member with dementia. And a lot of times sending your family member with dementia to a completely unfamiliar place without anybody they know can accelerate the death process. So please consider donating. It is very, very helpful to a lot of families. But yeah, man, I appreciate you doing this, Mike.
I appreciate you inviting me. Thanks for having me. Great to chat about, the inner workings of this awesomeness.
Yeah, I'm hoping to swing by Indeed for a little bit this Wednesday as well.
Hell yeah.
I'm sure I'll do an interview with Effie at some point. But yeah, man, I appreciate you doing this. I appreciate everybody watching. Mike, plug all your stuff, man.
Yeah, Indeed. We talked about it enough. It's Wednesdays on Fightful Overbooked, 6 p.m. Eastern time. Sean will probably drop by this week. Looking to hopefully have some friends from ETU Wrestling also drop by, because they've got Summer Madness coming up next weekend, and there's a reason I'm not doing anything on Saturday. I want to watch that show. It's great. Other than that, the social media handle under my microphone here is it's universal. So YouTube, Twitch, Instagram, Twitter. Find me at Mike from Indeed on all of those places. I have content on all of them. And go watch independent wrestling, support indie shows, spread peace and love.
Go check out his stuff. He's done a lot of good stuff for us for a long time. Guys, until next time, we're out.